This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark, and you're listening to Pressing Matters Right Now, the show where we discuss issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. Now, all eyes have been on the SRC International trial currently unfolding at the KL High Court, because this is the first time in history that we've had a former Prime Minister in the dock. Now, a lot of us get our news from the papers, but there's also another platform for interested persons to stay up to date on the trial, and that is the podcast titled The People vs. Najib Razak, produced by the Malaysian Insight. And we wanted to know more, so joining us today is Yvonne Lim and Revathi Subramaniam, producers at the Malaysian Insight. Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
So, first of all, let's start with the case itself. Sure. What have been your key takeaways from following the case since it first started?
The trial that's going on now is the SRC case. Mm-hmm. Najib has 42 charges against him, 10 of which are involving SRC International, which is a subsidiary or was a subsidiary of 1MDB until it got taken over by MOF. And the current trial that we are looking at now, it looks at 7 of the 10 SRC charges that are... It's broken up into two mm-hmm. parts, yeah. And the reason it's broken up into two parts was because 3 of those charges, which involves 27 million ringgit, the current one involves 42 million ringgit. The 27 million ringgit ones, those 3 charges were charged in what the defense said was the wrong court. So Najib was charged for those at the High Court, and mm-hmm. the defense said that you have to charge those in Sessions Court. So that's why those were separated out. That's the beginning of that's how the trial started.
Yeah, there were a lot of delays. It was supposed to start sometime in
February.
Yeah. Plenty of delays, plenty of appeals, and then it finally started. But as Yvonne mentioned, the other 3 SRC cases involving 27 million, they have not been heard. So we're only focusing on the 42 million one at the moment.
Yeah.
Because takeaway would be how did all this money flow from one account to the other, and nobody really cared? So I think when we talked about it, we felt that it was something of a failure of the banking system.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not talking about 1,000 or 10,000. We're talking about mm-hmm. the hundreds of thousands and millions of ringgit.
Mm.
So the question on our minds are, how did this happen? How did no one catch it? So that was the biggest takeaway for me.
Yeah, when we listen to the lawyers arguing, the impression that you get from how his defense lawyers are arguing his case for him is that they are trying to say that, you know, all these things have happened. It is clear from witness testimonies and bank records that money has flowed into Najib's accounts. But what the lawyers have been trying to do is paint a picture that Najib had no idea that mm-hmm. all this was going on. Somebody else was managing his accounts. There's something else at play here, and all the while, the former Prime Minister had no idea that any of this was going on.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that his private accounts in MBank, he had 3 of them, they were managed by the SRC missing CEO, Nick Faizal Arif Kamil. So from what I can see, the defence is trying to show that Najib had no idea that all these transactions were taking place because he wasn't controlling his accounts. Mm-hmm. Somebody else was doing it for him. But the checks that he issued, those were signed by him.
Yeah.
Court reporting is its own specialty. And Yvonne, you spent some time as a reporter covering court previously before you became a producer for the Malaysian Insight. So how is it different from normal reporting on cases?
Court reporting differs from case to case. It depends on what the case is. If it's a murder case, it might be a bit more sensational because you get...
There's a lot more drama.
A lot more drama. Yeah, yes. Who did it? You know, it's hard to prove a murder case, but you know, who did it and who's involved. In this case, a lot of the big highlights are numbers. Yeah. 42 million, 27 million, 2.5 million. Where did this money come from? And then bank accounts, how did it flow from this to this to this? So I would say that I've covered some white collar cases, but this is by far the biggest one. And I would say that tracking the numbers is at the end of the day, when covering the Najib trial, we find ourselves scratching our heads and looking at a whole bunch of numbers and figuring out oh my goodness, how do we put this into a way that that we understand it, for one, yeah. and for our listeners to understand it as well.
Translating it for our listeners has been a challenge because, like Yvonne said, it involves a lot of numbers. So if we don't understand it, if you listen to it, you won't understand it either.
Yes, because you guys have been immersed in the case. So if it doesn't make sense to you, it won't make sense to someone who has not been following it quite so closely. So I guess we'll get into the technicalities of how you guys have translated that information for the ear, because you guys are doing a podcast a little bit later. I'd like to ask, I guess, what is the atmosphere at the Najib court case like compared to others that you've seen or experienced?
Okay, so on the first day of trial, which was on April 3rd, there were lots of reporters. There were queues in the lobby of the courtroom because everybody was trying to get a pass to get into the open court, to get into the video link room.
Yeah.
And then there were his supporters outside the courtroom, outside the court lobby, who were there to show their love, I suppose.
Yeah.
That was the first day of trial. And immediately, We were thinking to ourselves, okay, how long is this whole scrum's going to last? How long is his supporters going to be there? Are they going to come every day? But immediately on the very next day, the media kind of more than halved. So those who came on the first day, they were no longer there.
Yeah.
And even his supporters, there's the odd one or two of them.
Yeah.
Occasionally, there are some people from his constituency in Pekan.
Yeah.
But for now, it's usually just him arriving in court at around 8:50, just before court starts at 9. He makes his way to the courtroom. He usually sits in the public gallery, chats with his aide. He has two cushions with him at all times to put in the dock because it's not very comfortable. It's just a hard wood bench.
It's a small space.
It's a very small space, not much room to maneuver. And it's a very long day. Mm. So he has that comfort. He has two cushions for him to sit on. And what I find challenging is Najib's expression, right?
So basically all the fanfare is gone. He used to have a lift, a special elevator cordoned off for him.
Just for him.
So in the High Court, there are four lifts. He usually takes the one on the left side of the court. Only one lift. And it's usually it was cordoned off for him for the longest time, even when he was charged. But I think at day 8, they took away the cordons.
Yeah.
And I asked the court officer, why did you take it away? And then the court officer said that a lot of people have been complaining that there's no space. So now what happens is we get Najib coming in, and more often than not, like just recently, the most recent case, trial, the lift actually closed on him, and then he had to take a step back, and then he had to wait for the lift again, and then the lift arrived again, and he tried to go in, but it closed again, so he had to wait for the next lift. I find that a bit amusing because, you know, I'm not used to seeing Najib taking common lifts like a common person, but he looks awkward, like waiting for the lifts.
Out of place.
Out of place.
Definitely
like,
out of place.
I've not done this before, you know. Now what is this thing that people do?
Yeah, because he's been prime minister for 10 years by this point. And even before that he was a minister, he was a VIP, so he'd been
son of a prime minister.
Yeah.
So he's always had special treatment, I guess, his whole life.
But even then, having said that, he is facing charges. But he has been given to a certain extent a leeway, because like having two cushions, for example, I don't think that is that is something
norm,
given to anyone who is in the dock. Like bringing a cup of coffee into the dock, for example. Normal people don't get those things.
I mean, occasionally there was once I saw him read a book even in the docket.
Yeah.
In the dock, and he...
You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to. There were times where we look at him and he's looking down and he looks like he's using his phone.
Yeah.
So,
he's dozed off a couple of times. Occasions. Especially when the fasting month started.
Yeah. I've been speaking to Yvonne Lim and Revathi Subramaniam, producers at the Malaysian Insight, and we're talking about the show, The People versus Najib Razak. So after this, we'll delve a little bit more into the behind the scenes of the podcast. So stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark, and you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we discuss issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. So today, we're speaking to Yvonne Lim and Revathi Subramaniam, producers at the Malaysian Insight. Insight about the experience of covering one of the largest court cases in Malaysian history and conveying all of its intricacies over podcast. So guys, tell me about The People versus Najib Razak. Where did the idea for this come from?
So the idea basically came from our boss, Jawa Sadiq, who's the editor of the Malaysian Insight. He basically one day came and told us that, I think we should do a podcast for the trial. I just have to say that Yvonne and I have never done radio or podcast. We are a video team. Yeah. We deal with the visual. So when he said podcast,
we were like, oh.
Obviously, alarm bells and like panic.
Yeah.
So you guys had never had any experience doing anything solely audio related?
I did an internship at Fly FM, like more than 10 years ago.
The closest I came to it was doing it for 2 weeks while I was in uni, but...
Yeah. That's the extent of it, lah. Yeah,
so never not a lot of experience.
I mean, prior to this Najib, the People versus Najib Razak, we did experiment a little bit with podcast, but that didn't really...
It didn't really work out very well.
So
what happened with those?
It just kind of fell out, yeah.
The platform that we were doing it on wasn't really the best. So it just fizzled out.
So in this case, we did do a bit of homework before the trial started because it kept being pushed back, right? So we had a bit of time. So we went to court, got some sounds, like atmosphere sounds, and just tried our best and then wish for the best, like, hope for the best.
We were dropped on the deep end and we just had to swim.
But now we've pretty much got a momentum going. Ray and I take turns going to court.
That's just to preserve our own sanity.
Our own sanity, So she goes on one day, I go one day, and whoever goes, we just write the script from there, and then whoever's not in court would clean up. Then we take turns to edit it as well. So we pretty much take turns doing this. It's a daily thing. So
there are a few other people who work with us on this. Yeah. They help us with the writing and fine-tuning the script and also editing it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys do a very interesting thing in your podcast, which is you emphasize a lot on the human reactions within the courtroom. So you talk about what Najib's face looked like when this when this charge was read. Yeah. You talk about him having cushions, for example, in the dock with him. What made you decide to do that? Because cameras aren't allowed in the courtrooms.
Correct.
So I guess... It seemed to me that what you were doing is very similar to what court illustrators do, except via audio. Yeah. So where did this idea come from?
Well, Jahaba.
Yeah.
But if you hear there's a tagline in our podcast, it says, follow us into the courtroom where it all happens. Yeah. So the idea was to bring our listeners into the courtroom, and the focus is on Najib as a person in the dock. So that's the whole idea. That's why we have a lot of like, what's Najib's expression, what's he wearing,
Books he's carrying,
the books he's carrying, what's he drinking.
Because if you just focus on the trial itself, it's not very
different from other reporting. Everybody is reporting on trial proper. And you can get those anywhere else, but we want to. You wanted to do something that's different, and that's
because otherwise it's just humdrum, it's just court, and you have to realize this particular trial has stacks and stacks of documents, so it gets really dry sometimes.
So
the focus is on Najib also because he was the former prime minister, and you want to know how he's reacting and how he looks like.
And I think like Ray said, a lot of it is very tedious, a lot of numbers. And so when anything different happens, like, for example, there was a report alleging that, of course, he denied it. There was a report recently that went out of court one day in the afternoon alleging that Najib had stood up and took a selfie in court, which of course Najib later denied and said that first of all, he didn't stand up and he wasn't taking a selfie. He was just looking at the front camera of his phone to look at his face because he felt something on his eye.
Yeah.
But it's things like that, like small things that like are super, are out of the norm, things that he does, that he, like he dozes off, for example, that court reporters tend to go ham on because everything is so, you know, monotonous and just so much numbers. Is numbers being repeated again and again and again?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And that can be very difficult to convey as well over podcast because if you overload a listener with numbers, then they're not necessarily going to retain them as well as if you had a video platform you know, blast the numbers up onto a screen for people.
For sure. Visually, it would be a lot easier to convey, like, this is what happened today.
Yeah.
But writing it for a podcast, we have to be very mindful of what, how we say certain things.
So we've tried to, I mean, hopefully we've achieved that. We've tried to focus on the human aspect, like who's in court apart from Najib, what are they all doing, what's the feel, and at the same time, report on court proceedings as well.
Yeah. So how do you plan to keep people interested for the duration of the case? Because, you know, with appeals and counter appeals, it could be years before we finally see a result in the People versus Najib Razak. Yeah. So how is that? How do you, have you guys planned a timeline or do you have a forward plan? Or are you just taking things as they go at the moment?
That's a good question.
I think we're taking things as they go because it's hard to put a timeline to it because it's a court proceeding and we don't know when or when they're going to stop. And like you said, there are going to be multiple appeals. At the moment, we are halfway through.
We are only at the prosecution stage.
Correct.
So after this stage, the judge will decide whether there's a case or not, or whether Najib should enter defense, or whether he'll be acquitted. And if he enters defense, then we have to go through this all over again.
So, like, just to give a bit of a context, the prosecution has about 60 witnesses. We're about
36 or so.
So some witnesses, they're really quick with them. So you take, they come on the stand, they say who they are, give their testimony, and then they're gone.
But some read out a 40-page long witness
statement.
Right. And then you take 4 days with this one witness.
Yeah, and I think because that's necessary, like the 42-page statement, although it's so tedious even to listen to, but it was necessary because that showed the money flow, like how money was transferred from this account to this account to that account. So unfortunately, that's what this case is about. It's about the money trail. So we have to, we have no choice. But back to your question about like what we plan to do moving forward. We did toy with the idea of, and I think at some point we will probably have some analysis, get someone to analysis the case, get someone to analysis maybe some of the numbers. But,
but that's also hard because it's an ongoing court case and you can't really talk a lot about the proceedings. So we have to tread carefully.
Now, because you talked a little bit about the kind of the tedious nature of this case, because at its heart, it is still a white-collar case. And despite the fact that there are huge sums of money being bandied about, following the money trail is unfortunately an intrinsic part of it. So how are you going to manage listener fatigue, for example?
In our reporting in the podcast, we don't present all the numbers. We try to round up some numbers. We try to make it a bit. I mean, hopefully that's what we hope, that more interesting to listen to. For example, we say the number and we spell it out, or
Or like we focus on Najib.
Unfortunately, the numbers are, like you said, an integral part of the trial. There's no escaping them. So we have to find ways.
I think Malaysians in general want to know the figures.
Yeah.
Because it's a large amount of money. And this amount of money, a lot of people will not be, you won't be seeing this money in your bank account in your lifetime, possibly. So people are interested in that. And just to point out, SRC is the smallest case, actually. And it's only 42 million.
We're only at the tip of the iceberg.
We haven't gone into 1MDB. Those are
cross-border
billions of dollars.
Yeah, and we'll be reporting on that too. We'll be having podcasts on that too.
So will these be separate podcasts, different from
They will be different, a separate series, mm-hmm. but it'll be the same team, I think.
Yeah. We will be doing a podcast on Rosmah Manso as well, Najib's wife.
Yeah.
We're toying with the idea of doing that in Bahasa.
Yeah, so because right now you're only podcasting in English, right?
Yes.
So are other languages on the cards for the SRC International case as well?
Currently, no.
Not for SRC.
Not for SRC. No. And also because we are almost halfway through, also we hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we'll probably continue SRC with the SRC trial in this medium. Mm-hmm. But for Rosmah Manso, we are looking at doing it in BM, like Ray said. Yeah. And we haven't figured out the technicalities of that yet, how to work that out.
Yeah, because we don't have a podcast team, whether it's mm-hmm. for English or Bahasa, so we're all just learning on the go.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to figure that one out. But doing it in Bahasa would be quite a challenge, but also interesting.
But I mean, like we mentioned before, now it's just the first part of SRC, and then we have the second part of SRC. Mm-hmm. We have 1MDB, we have IPIC, we have Rosmah Manso, and we have the one with Arul Kanda, the tampering with the audit report.
Yeah, at the moment, the trial dates have been set for until April 2020, without the delays and the postponements.
So it looks like you have an exciting time ahead of you. Thank you both for joining me today. I've been speaking to Yvonne Lim and Revathi Subramaniam, producers at the Malaysian Insight, talking about their show, The People vs. Najib Razak. That's all we have on Pressing Matters on The Morning Run today. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news after this, followed by Enterprise at BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.